my presentation is about carbon sequestration and the trace gas flux in urban turfgrass system. And I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, and Katrina Gillette and Yao Zhang, both were graduate students, worked on the projects. And Dr. Ron Follett is my collaborator in USDA AIS. And the greenhouse gas in atmosphere are increasing. The greenhouse gas, including carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide. And all these greenhouse gas has doubled since the industrial era. And currently, carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is 400 parts per million. Urban turfgrass cover 20 million acres in the U.S., and it's an important urban green space, provide important ecosystem services. And we do know turfgrass receive irrigation and mowing and some fertilization. So how do this manage the turfgrass system affect the carbon sequestration and the trace gas flux? And to address these questions, we have been doing this project for over 10 years and address several components of the greenhouse gas budget calculations. First is to estimate soil carbon sequestration. And currently, we just finished a study and to measure trace gas fluxes from turfgrass soil. And we add all the components together to calculate the total greenhouse gas budget or carbon footprint. So first component, the soil carbon sequestration. And initially, we use the long-term soil testing data to assess carbon sequestration. I thank Dr. Saldet already mentioned this data and make my presentation easier. So initially, we use the golf course data, fairways, and look at the soil organic matter increase after years of turfgrass establishment. This is the data from fairway, and this is the data from putting greens. And after establishing the relationship, we'd be able to calculate soil carbon sequestration based on the rate of increase. So we also have rough data, data from golf course rough. So all these together and our results shows turfgrass carbon sequestration at a rate about 0.6 to 1.1 tons of carbon per hectare per year for up to 30 to 45 years. And the variations of the carbon sequestration rate was because management input, turfgrass species, and the soil texture, etc. And the second component of the overall project is a major trace gas flux. And we did measure all the three trace gases in turfgrass system, but today I will only focus on nitrous oxide. And nitrous oxide is an important greenhouse gas because it has 298 times global warming potential when compared to carbon dioxide. And agricultural practice like fertilization, manure application, other organic fertilizations, and contribute to about 60% of global nitrous oxide emission. And the nitrous oxide emitted usually is a byproduct from nitrification and denitrification, and described as the leaking pipe model. And the nitrification is ammonium oxidation process. And during the nitrification, and the nitrous oxide is leaked out. And usually nitrification occurs in the aerated soil. And when soil water content is not too high, and for the water filled pore space, usually below 60%. And the denitrification is a process for the nitrate reduction process. Nitrate reduced to nitrogen gas. And during the denitrification process, again, nitrous oxide is leaked out. And the denitrification usually occur in the high soil water content, and if the anaerobic conditions, significant denitrification can occur. And also denitrification needed an organic carbon substrate, usually happen when the soil water filled pore space is above 60%. So for the trace gas study, the objective was to determine annual nitrous oxide emission in different turf grass systems from different sectors of golf courses, and also assess different fertilizers, how impact the nitrous oxide flux. So for this study, we set the study in a golf course, and we set the study on the golf course fairway side, rough side, putting green side, and the native side. But today I only focus on the fairway and the rough side. For fairway study site, perennial ryegrass was planted and mowed to 1.9 centimeter. For rough study site, has a Kentucky bluegrass mowed to 6.4 centimeter. And on both the fairway study side and the rough study side, and four fertilization treatment were applied. These four fertilization treatment including polyon fertilizer application, BCMU fertilizer application, or UMAX fertilizer, and a control. The control is without any fertilization, it's a zero fertilizer application. And these four treatment were arranged in randomized complete block design. And the fertilizers were applied in June, early July, and September. This is not really the best management because some technical issue, we applied the fertilizer a little bit 2 weeks too late, according to the recommendations. And during growing season, and irrigation was applied at 100% evapotranspiration. And a little bit more description about the three fertilizers. And UMAX is a urea fertilizer, but it contains substrates that can inhibit soil nitrification enzymes and also inhibit the urease. And the polyon is a polymer coated and controlled or slow release the urea fertilizer. And the BCMU stand for balanced chain methylene urea. It's uncoated, but it's a stabilized form of urea that requires biological degradation to release nitrogen. And on each study site on the golf course, we use this modified chamber. And we installed 24 chambers on the fairway study site, and 24 chambers on the rough study side. And each chamber has an anchor and a top chamber. The anchor were permanently installed, more pictures. So the first picture here shows the graduate student install the anchor to fairways and the rough. This is the anchor installed on fairways, and you can see it on fairway, but it's invisible on rough. And the But this anchor installed would not interrupt the play, would not affect the turf grass management. And the top chambers were just put on before the measurement. So after putting the chamber on, every 1 minute, 50 minutes, 30 minutes after the chamber were put on, the gas sample were collected, and the gas sample transferred to the lab for the trace gas measurement. To the meantime, the soil temperature and the soil water content were measured using this Decagon probe. But the measurement is for top 10 centimeter soil profile. And the water filled pore space was calculated based on soil water content and the soil porosity. And this is the results, and the figure is a little bit busy, but please bear with me. And here the top two panels are nitrous oxide flux. And the bottom two panels were the soil temperature and the soil water filled pore space data. And here the red is temperature, the bottom, the blue is water filled pore space. You do can see the fairways that have a high water filled pore space compared to rough. And let's look at the nitrous oxide emissions. And please note the fairway on your left side is data from fairway. On your right side is data from the rough. And please note the dramatic difference on the scales. On fairway, you will use the scale 0 to 1,000. And for the rough, the scale is from 0 to 40. Because there's a dramatic difference for nitrous oxide emission from fairway and the rough. And this chart shows from May in the 2011 to the end of May of 2012, so whole full year data. And F1 means first fertilization application. So after first fertilization application in early June, we did not see dramatic increase of nitrous oxide emission for all fertilizer treatments. But on the fairway, follow the second fertilization treatment. Okay, here. And immediately, the second day we went out for measurement, there's a huge peaks of nitrous oxide emission from the fairway. And here the peak shows the BCMU very high, and the UMAX very high, and the polyon is much lower. And then also follow the third fertilization application in September, we also see the significant flux of nitrous oxide. And it's very high for UMAX and BCMU. Polyon is much lower. So this is on your right side is the data from rough. So in general, nitrous oxide emissions from rough were much lower. We compare to the scale 1,000 to only 30, 40. And so from the rough, after all three fertilization events, we see small peaks of nitrous oxide emissions, although the peak lasted a little bit longer. So in general, the annual, for the fairway and the rough, fairway have a much higher nitrous oxide emissions compared to rough. And why is that? Here is a sum of my explanations. Mowing height is the key, I think. And the rough is mowed 6.4 centimeter tall. So the water applied is the same for rough and a fairway. So rough have high evapotranspiration, so make the soil a little bit dry, and as the soil have a rough soil have a lower water filled pore space compared to the fairway. Another thing is the rough mowed tall have some shading effect on soil surface. And a fairway, you can see the buried anchor. Fairway is clear, but a rough you cannot see. So because of this shading effect, soil surface, I think, have a lower soil temperature on rough compared to fairway. Although our measurement for soil temperature is measured at a 10 centimeter average, I think a soil surface, probably fairway, have a much higher soil temperature compared to rough. And this is accumulated nitrous oxide emission. And you can see top panel is a fairway, bottom panel is rough. And the top panel, again, the scale is different. Fairways have a much higher nitrous oxide emission compared to rough, except the control. And on the fairways, we can see BCMU and the UMAX emitted a higher nitrous oxide compared to polyons. And BCMU emitted about 7 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. That represents about 4.7% loss of applied nitrogen. UMAX emitted a total about 6 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, represent about 4% of loss of total applied nitrogen. But polyon only emitted less than 2 kilogram nitrogen, only represent about 1.25% of loss of total applied nitrogen. And on the rough, the story is a little bit different. And on the rough, UMAX have a high emissions compared to polyon and BCMU. BCMU have a low emissions on rough. And UMAX emitted about 1.2% of total applied nitrogen. Polyon and BCMU only emitted about 0.6% of total applied nitrogen. So there's impaction of fertilizer treatment and site interaction. Here is some possibilities I can think about in interpreting this fertilizer treatment and site interaction. So for the UMAX and the BCMU on the fair wave have very high nitrous oxide emissions. And I think likely is because the fairways have a warmer and a wetter conditions that facilitate the greater and the rapid nitrogen release from UMAX and the BCMU. And also on fairways, maybe some soil denitrification likely have occurred because on fairways we see high water-filled pore space. Water-filled pore space often exceeded 60% during the growing season. So these two reasons may contribute to very high nitrous oxide emission from fairways from UMAX and BCMU. And but for BCMU fertilizer treated plots, we see low emissions on rough. Why? Because BCMU is biological degraded, and the nitrogen release requires biological activities. And the rough, I assume, have low soil water content and have a lower soil temperature. And this slows the nitrogen release from BCMU. And on the rough, I think the nitrification was likely the main source of the nitrous oxide emission from rough, because rough soil water content consistently measured lower than fairway. And polyon is insensitive to the fairway conditions, and both on fairways and the rough have a smaller but a little bit longer duration of nitrous oxide flux. And so it indicates polyon is a truly slow release, the controlled release, the nitrogen fertilizer. So it works well and for reduced nitrous oxide emission. So the third component for the project is estimate greenhouse gas budget or carbon footprint. And for this, we measure the carbon sequestration, we measure the trace gas flux. We also adopted the simulation model, sensory simulation model, day center simulation model to the turfgrass system. So we can use the sensory and the day center to estimate carbon sequestration for different turfgrass systems. And we can also estimate the nitrous oxide emission from the day center model. And also, we use this adopted model, simulation model, to predict carbon sequestration and trace gas flux. And we also conduct a survey to estimate, to have information about different turfgrass systems for its energy use and fuel use, electricity use, and fertilizer use, other chemical use. So put all the system together, put all the data together, we'd be able to do the greenhouse gas budget or carbon footprint. Here's the example. And here's for the home long carbon footprint. Have two scenarios. One is a conventional management scenario. One is a best management scenario. And this is a conventional scenario is 100% EG with 150 kilogram nitrogen per hectare per year for the 40 years. And for the best management practice scenario, this best management practice was generated by the Bayesant model, suggests a decreased nitrogen fertilization as a turf age. So you can see is by practice best management practice, we can reduce carbon footprint. Here, so all these black bars, red bars, or white bars is the energy cost associated with the turfgrass management. And the yellow bar is nitrous oxide emissions. And the blue bar is the carbon footprint over time. So so with the conventional practice, nitrous oxide emission increase after 10 years of turfgrass establishment. But with the best nitrogen management practice, and we reduce nitrogen application over time, and we'd be able to keep nitrous oxide emission to minimum. And at the same time, reduce the carbon footprint for the for the fertilization production and the transportation. So for the conventional management and the turfgrass system was a sink of greenhouse gas the first 10 years. But after that, it changed from sink to source. But with better management practice, turfgrass can maintain its carbon sink for 20 to 30 years. And after that, turfgrass become a weak source of greenhouse gas. So some summaries and conclusions for the overall project. And we find that turfgrass sequester carbon at 0.6 to 1.1 tons carbon per hectare per year for 30 to 45 years. And we find all the management practice, including mowing, irrigation, nitrogen management, all impact nitrous oxide flux and also impact carbon footprint. And we find the nitrous oxide emission was much higher on fairways and rough. And I did not present the data from native and putting greens. It was a 2-hour surprise. Putting green nitrous oxide emission is the same as native. Only 10% or less than 10% was emitted from fairways. And we find that summer fertilization events in Colorado subject to significant emissions of nitrous oxide should be avoided. And we should avoid summer fertilization in Colorado. And we find cumulative nitrous oxide emission from UMAX and BCMU fertilizer plots were much greater compared to polyon-treated plots. And polyon with advanced coating technology had the lowest loss of nitrous oxide. But if you have to use UMAX and BCMU, apply those fertilizer to soil that is cool and dry. In this way, it's effective in mitigating nitrous oxide loss from fairways. And with the day center generated best management practice, Kentucky bluegrass lawn can maintain carbon sink for about 20 to 30 years after establishment. And with this, I would like to acknowledge the GraceNet program of USDA ARS for supporting of one of my graduate students. And I also acknowledge the funding support from U.S. Golf Association and thank the superintendents in Colorado for allow me to do all these studies on golf course and dig holes on the golf courses. So is this, thank you. Yes.
So the biggest number is the carbon sequestration number. So you assume that the soil is sequestering carbon at a rate of 0.6 to 1.
1.1.
Yeah, yeah. Do you make any assumptions about what the initial conditions were? So I think if that is on agricultural land where the carbon has been depleted, then that's a reasonable number. But if you are converting from, say, a forest or a prairie, and there's already the carbon, the soil is already saturated with carbon. And so the sequestration numbers might be much less. So are you making an assumption about what the initial conditions are?
I think you're correct. And if the soil, turf is converted from agricultural land and the carbon is lower, the carbon sequestration will be high. But this 1.1, this number, 0.6 to 1.1 number, is based on the 16 golf courses in Colorado. Among them, I think about 9 to 10 was converted from agricultural land, and the rest were converted from the native grassland before. So it's average. And again, another thing is the carbon sequestration data was only considered the surface 4 to 5 inches. So we did not look at the deep soil depths. So might have some capacity, a deep soil profile may sequester some carbon that we have overlooked.